Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back, and it's 13 after the hour. The phone number is 888-822-8255. Now, what would you do with that number? If you are a small business owner, if you are a small business dreamer, and you are trying to figure out how to get your message out so people know that you're in business, so people know that you have the absolute best products and services that's available in your marketplace, and that they should come do business with you. Or you're a dreamer and you are trying to decide how much money is it actually going to cost you to get that information out. How much should you budget for marketing, for advertising? Well, if you dial this number, 888-822-8255, you'll get to talk to an expert in making sure that you squeeze a dime's worth of marketing and advertising out of every nickel that you spend. His name is Shel Horowitz. He's my friend. He's the director of Accurate Writing and More, which is a marketing, consulting, copywriting, editing, and career services firm, which he founded many years ago. He's the author of two outstanding books. One is called A Penny-Pinching Hedonist, How to Live Like Royalty with a Peasant's Pocketbook, and the one that we're going to talk the most about today, the other book called Marketing Without Megabucks, How to Sell Anything on a Shoestring. He's also a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Shel, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be back again. Let me start by correcting you. I think we're talking more about getting a dollar's worth for every penny.
See what I mean, folks? Don't you love that? Good for you, Shel. Well, you know, I'm trying to, you know, not to overstate the case. I'll let you do that. You're good at that. You're pretty good at that. But see, the thing is, though, is that most of the people that are listening would be tickled just to get a dime's worth out of every, heck, most of them would like to get a nickel for every nickel that they spend.
Yeah, most of them would. I see so many people waste.
Yeah, we got a little feedback on there. Anyway, you see a lot of people wasting what?
Wasting money on bad marketing. I see people spending thousands of dollars on display ads that aren't going to pull, on internet banner ads that are not getting any click-throughs. It's just amazing to see how many people are wasting how much money.
Why did they do that?
Because they don't know any better.
Okay, why don't they know any better?
Well, maybe because a lot of them don't bother to track their results.
Yeah.
And from very early on, I made a point of tracking my results at the point where somebody asks me, may I make an appointment to spend some money on you? I ask them, how did you find out about us?
Mm-hmm.
And that way I knew, for example, that when I went into a series of phone books about 50 miles away, that I was pouring money down the toilet, and after the 1 year that book had its run, I didn't go back in.
Right.
And I also knew very early when certain other things were quite successful. And every business should have some kind of tracking mechanism. There are a number of different ones that you can institute depending on the kind of business you have. But even if you don't get 100% of the people to tell you, if you get 50% of the people to tell you, you have a pretty good idea.
But you at least should be asking the people who do business with you, when they call in folks, when they come in, however they get to your business, the first time, the second time, the third time.
Yeah, if you've got a retail store, you can ask them as you're ringing up the sale. Have your staff be trained to ask and just, you know, scratch it down on a notepad with little tick marks. Doesn't have to be anything formal or fancy or expensive.
Now, for some reason, you've got to figure out how to motivate your salespeople to do that, because it's not something they do naturally. They you have to train them to do that.
Well, a bonus incentive of some sort might be a good training issue.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big deal. It could be a small deal. It could be something small.
Dinner out at a local restaurant for the person who tracks the most customers or something like that.
And you need to have some training on that, though, Shel, so that it doesn't seem awkward, so that the people are able to ask it in a conversational way.
Yeah, it should definitely be conversational, but it should be part of the sales process at some point.
When someone calls your business, and when you run an ad and you said something like free estimates or give us a call and we'll see if we can help you, whatever it says, when they call your business, take the information, give them the information that they ask for, and at the end say, would you mind telling me, it's just simple as this, folks, would you mind telling me how you found out about it?
Exactly. That's all it has to be. And, in fact, you may decide to track either at the point of purchase or at the point of inquiry, and you may notice that those numbers are quite different, that you're getting a lot of tire-kicking responses that don't buy from one source,
right,
and another one that's not bringing up as much traffic, but the traffic it is bringing is buying.
Well, the reason that I think that you should ask these people as early as possible is because many people will find out about you from one way or another, but they will still won't do business with you, and you may never talk to them again. If they don't buy from you, that's not the advertising or the marketing's fault, probably.
Mm-hmm.
All the advertising or the marketing was supposed to do was to get them to make contact.
Yeah, then your customer service, the quality of your presentation, all the information you're supplying, the uniqueness of your product, all these factors come into play then.
That's the reason why your receptionist, whoever answers the phone, when people walk in the door, if they're just looking, when somebody walks in your business, I mean, how many times a day in the world, I mean, like a gazillion times, do people say, oh, I'm just looking? If they walk in your door and they just say, I'm just looking, don't walk away from them. Engage them for at least long enough to find out how they found out how to get there. Oh, and why they came there.
Yeah. Okay, I think people kind of get the idea why tracking might be important.
Right. What's how are things been going with your book? You had an interesting situation to come up with your book. Tell us about that.
Okay, I last month got a phone call from a fellow in Germany who said, I want to buy your book in German. Is it available in German? I want it for everybody in my sales staff. It made me $1 million without spending any money on advertising. I went, whoa, could you put that in writing, please? And sure enough, a half an hour later in my email box, there was this amazing testimonial. I'm going to read it to you. Thank you for your wonderful book, Marketing Without Megabucks. It is the single most profitable investment I've ever made. With its superb advice, I managed to build a small company turning over close to $1 million a year within 2 years, and I have not spent a single penny on paid advertising. With our special computer noise reduction products, we have obtained front page coverage with the most important German computer magazine, have been featured in 13 other magazines and newspapers. We, rather the product, even have been featured twice on TV. Starting this year, we employ 5 people. An estimated turnover for 1999 is $1,400,000. Most helpful with the chapters on working the media and on customer service / referrals. 20% of our new business comes from referrals. Mm-hmm. Georg Schlomka from A. Conto GmbH in Germany. Well, I was blown away. Needless to say, the very first thing I did was write him a very lovely thank you note.
Shell, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk some more about this. It's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My special guest is Shell Horowitz. All right, welcome back. 24 after, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. And it's toll-free. It's coast-to-coast. Our website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Our special guest is our good friend and a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, the author of Marketing Without Megabucks, How to Sell Anything on a Shoestring, Shell Horowitz. Shell, tell our audience how they can get your book.
Okay, well, the easiest thing to do is to either go on the web at www.frugalfun.com or to call 877-FRUGAL-FUN.
Okay.
877, by the way, is the newest toll-free number. We used to have an 800 number that we gave out, but we got one that we could brand
mm-hmm.
on the 877
Good.
Side, so we went for it.
Good.
And if you still have my old brochure or whatever, you can use that 800 number. It still works, but
okay.
I don't give it out on the air anymore because 877-FRUGAL-FUN is a lot easier to remember, and including shipping and the email version of the update, which brings the book up to current days from when it was written a few years ago. It's $20 in
okay.
the United States, including shipping.
I see. Great. That's a good deal. Shell, you were telling us about this testimonial that you got from Germany. Now
it's interesting because, I mean, I certainly do use advertising, and I think most of the people who buy my book do use advertising. The book tells them how to make a good ad buy instead of a
mm-hmm.
wasted ad buy.
Right.
But I was just amazed that this guy reached a far greater commercial success than I have done using just really two of my methods.
Which
were getting free publicity in the media and encouraging referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, he built a $1 million empire. And I'm like, wow, I wish I could do that. So, of course, after I thanked him and got permission to quote, I decided that normally you wouldn't do a press release on the fact that you got a testimonial, but this was such an unusual testimonial and came from so far away.
Right.
And I did look it up, and he found my book on my website in 1996. So that was kind of interesting.
What industry is he in?
He's selling computer soft sound computers, things that don't make a lot of noise, so you don't have to listen to the hum of your fan.
Oh, I see.
Noise control computer devices.
I'll be darned.
So it's a niche.
Mm-hmm.
And niche marketing is often very effective because you can find out exactly who the people are that you need to reach and reach them.
Right.
And
what were some of the things that he did in the two methods that he used that made a difference?
Well, he was able to go after reporters one at a time and say, you should be covering this. And they did. I have some follow-up correspondence with him. I did an interview with him over the Internet, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just very persistent with going after the key contacts that he identified. And once he started getting some press, it snowballed, and then he was able to get more press.
Now, of course, that wouldn't work for everyone.
No.
I mean, if you're selling roses, or you're selling cars, or you're selling tires, or ceiling tile, or whatever, I mean, there's nothing that a reporter is going to be all that much that interested in.
Well, there's always a hook, Jim. You just have to find the hook. Let's say roses, for example. Let's say you've developed a new rose that's not available anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
That would be worthy of some press. Or let's say your company is doing some support to rose growers locally in ways that other greenhouses aren't doing. You can get some press mileage out of it.
And now you're cooking.
The tire story, they'd probably have to do something like the Indy 500 for kids. You know, they'd have to have some kind of event to bring people into the store, and then the media would cover the event.
Right.
And I do spend quite a bit of time in the book talking about how to get free press coverage, no matter what industry you're in.
All right, let's talk about some of those. Let's talk about some ways some other ways that you can get free press coverage.
Okay, well, events are a big one. You'll almost always get at least a calendar notice.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you're supplementing this with an advertising program to bring people to the event, then that makes it more effective in some ways.
In fact, that is a very good plan, isn't it? If you see companies who are maybe larger companies than yours doing something, you may see, at the same time you see a press release, you may also hear an ad on the radio or see something in the newspaper or on television or something like that.
You want to create the buzz, and it doesn't take one impression. It usually takes at least seven.
Several.
And it's one of the strategies that I suggest is if somebody, for example, is going to review your product in an issue of their magazine, don't take an ad out in that issue. Take an ad out in the next issue in which you can then quote the review.
Right. Good point.
So then you're getting essentially an extra editorial mention.
Right.
People who may not have seen the first one or who saw it and forgot about it are reminded, oh, yeah, right, I remember that.
Right. Make this thing have some legs, exactly. All right, Shell, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour. We're talking about how to get your word out, how to market, how to do advertising, and how to get the most for the dollars that you spend. 888-822-8255. It's 29 after. I'll be right back with our good friend Shell Horowitz. Hi, welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, small business advocate. I want to remind you that coming up in the next hour, Jerry Peterson is going to be with us. And he's written a book called It's 9 O'Clock on Monday Morning, Where Do I Go? It's going to help us talk about how to get your week organized, and especially if you're in sales, and who of us are not in sales, right, Shell?
You're right.
And it's a very interesting book. We're going to be talking about something he calls the 5x5 sales system. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up in the next hour. Our good friend Shell Horowitz is with us. He's the author of Marketing Without Megabucks, How to Sell Anything on a Shoestring. Also, he's the author of The Penny-Pinching Hedonist, How to Live Like Royalty with a Peasant's Pocketbook. And we're talking about how to make sure you get the most bang for the buck that you spend on marketing and advertising. And Shell, you were talking to us about the guy that was able to take some of the thoughts in your book, some of the ideas in your book, and turn it into a very successful marketing plan. And one of the things he used was media coverage. But you and I, as we were saying a few minutes ago, you have to have an angle. You have to have some kind of a hook that makes it different. It's what, like the old saying, dog bites man, that's not news. Man bites dog, that's news.
Right. You have to put yourself in editor's shoes. And by the way, I should mention that if people order both of my books at the same time, we do offer a little discount and send them both out for $34, including the email update to Marketing Without Megabucks.
All right. Good. Thanks.
And speaking of more bang for your buck, 600 pages of information for $34. Anyway, yes, one of the best ways to do this is, we were talking a little bit about staging events before. Another really important thing to do is, if you're benefiting a cause, if you have a charity that you're working with, mm-hmm. you can reap oodles and oodles of free publicity. Just right. amazing how reporters will just jump all over you to rush your story into the paper mm-hmm. if you're benefiting a cause. And you can get away with things that you could never get away with in an ordinary press release.
Right. Another thing that I found is, if you want to work with, if you'll find a radio station or a television station or a newspaper or some magazine or whatever, local magazine, if that organization is sponsoring something,
oh yeah,
if they're focusing on something, call them and ask them what it would take for you to support them, for you to help them.
And likewise, if you're organizing an event, if you can get a media co-sponsor,
yes.
oh boy, you've got it made.
Yeah.
I once organized a candidate night for a local election, and I got one radio station, one cable TV station, and one newspaper to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, people knew about that event.
Absolutely. I'm sure they did.
What did it cost me? Nothing. I mean, huh. I guess I probably mailed them each a packet, so probably $1 for it.
Very interesting. What about, talk to us about Frugal Fun Day, National Frugal Fun Day.
Yeah, well, this is another way that you can get publicity, is to have yourself your own holiday. Do you have any idea how easy it is to get a holiday? It's you send out one press release to two different places, and a
just
year later, you've got a holiday. So the first National Frugal Fun Day is going to be the first Saturday in October, and it's going to be the first Saturday every October. And I set this up basically so that I could market my book with a news angle. This is a book that was published in 1995, so to come up with a fresh news angle in 1999 is a good thing. And basically, I am going to be encouraging people all around the country to do one thing that doesn't cost anything and is pure enjoyment. And do I expect to get a lot of publicity and sell a lot of books? Well, if I could dig my head out of water long enough to stop doing client work and actually promote this thing, then yes. It's what, the shoemaker's daughter syndrome. I'm so busy working for other people.
Right.
I don't get
exactly.
to do my own.
Yeah, the cobbler's children have no shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show before. Very interesting. I had not thought about having my own day.
Yeah, I mean, you could have National Small Business Appreciation Day.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is send a copy of the press release to Chase's annual events and another one to Celebrate Today, which is John Kramer's list of holidays. And
mm-hmm.
by golly, if either one of those accepts you, you've got a holiday. Now, these are annuals. They don't come out very often, so there's
right.
some lag time.
Right. So Frugal Fun Day is October, 1st of October.
The first Saturday in October.
First Saturday in October.
I'm going to have to memorize what day it is.
Right.
I don't know. I just know it's the first Saturday in
right.
October.
What about another thing that... another thing was referrals. The company in Germany. By the way, is your book available in German?
No, it's not. But
he is
exploring translating a section and putting it on the website to generate sales of the English language book.
Mm-hmm.
And if that works out, then we may enter into a translation deal.
Very
so all this because he bought a copy of my book 3 years ago.
All of this and he contacted you over the internet, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, he called to find out about the German stuff.
Is that right?
He actually called, and let me tell you, it was a clearer connection than we have today.
Yeah. What about the other angle that he used, the referral section?
Well, that's very, very important. As people walk out of our office, now, again, a lot of our clients, we don't meet in person, so we do this
right.
by email. We
mm-hmm.
say, if you know of other people, or if you would like to say something to the internet mailing list that we're both on about my services, I'd be very grateful. When people come in and get a resume or a press release written on the spot, we hand them our business card and our brochure and say, and by the way, if you know of other people who need what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, it's a very low-key thing. And we've had on occasion people kind of stop and slap their heads and say, oh, yeah, I know a few people. Can I have some more cards?
Mm-hmm.
Why, sure.
Right.
You better believe it. And I'd say in an average year, about particularly the resume end of things, I'd say we get about 30% referrals. With the marketing end, it's a little trickier to track because so many of the people that are coming to me as clients, not only do they hear a steady stream of testimonials from my clients, but they also hear from me all the time on the list we participate in.
Right. Shell, stand by. We've got to take a break. Folks, it's 39 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Shell Horowitz is our special guest. He's also our good friend and a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you have a question or an answer, stay with us. We are back. Thank you for joining us. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is our good friend Shell Horowitz. Shell has been a guest on this show since almost day one, one of the early guests that we had on our show, and he's been a regular ever since. He's a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. He's the author of Marketing Without Megabucks, as well as the outstanding personal book called The Penny-Pinching Hedonist, How to Live Like Royalty with a Peasant's Pocketbook. All of those are available from your website. Also, if you're noodling around on my website and you go to the Brain Trust section, or you might find him, you will find him in the guest section of our website, but in many places on my website you'll find his name and links to his website and probably the phone number. But Shell, go ahead and give your website out again one more time.
Sure, mine is frugalfun.com.
Okay.
And the toll-free phone number, for those of you not on the net, is 877-FRUGAL-FUN. Funny how those sound the same. It's because I'm co-branding them. It's a very deliberate decision. And Jim's website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. He forgot to give you that, so
Thank
I'll do it for
that.
Him.
Thank you for that. And a pox on me for not doing that. My audience is saying that's the first time he forgot to do it. Let's get back to referrals. The gentleman who contacted you, who used two primary sections out of your book, Marketing Without Megabucks, he used media coverage and he used referrals. And one of the things that I'd like to point out to people is referrals is one of the best ways to get business. And I know you focus on this too, but I also like to remind people that the best way to get people to want to come to your business is for them to hear about you or see your message or to know about you in some way, in more than one way.
Mm-hmm. This is what I call an integrated strategy, and I'm very, very much in favor of it. And in fact, I hear many times when I ask this question, how did you hear about us? A lot of times I'll hear, well, I went to the Yellow Pages and then I saw your ad and I remembered that so-and-so had gone to you and talked about you in a very positive way.
Yeah.
So these things are working together to build something that's greater than the whole.
Exactly.
And there are so many ways to do it, and they don't have to cost much. I mean, I do like 60 radio appearances on the average year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I am hoping that when people hear me on the radio that later they'll come across me in print somewhere or they'll go to my website. Once I've got them on my website, then they can subscribe to my newsletters, of course, and then I'm in front of them every month. And I do very much, incidentally, recommend a strategy on the Internet that assumes that people are going to come to your website once and tries to capture that name somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Even though people do come and bookmark my site because I've got 200 pages of money-saving advice on how to run your business better and how to have more fun in your life, I do find that by having these newsletters, I'm able to create additional sales.
One of the things that, and folks, let me say this, as we leave referrals, the only way, not the only way, but the best way to make sure that you get referrals is to ask for referrals. Now, there are referrals that you don't ask for that happen just because you did such a good job that somebody refers someone to you, and that happens to me, it happens to all of us. But there's nothing in the world wrong with asking for a referral, is there, Shell?
Absolutely. And the other thing, though, it's a two-pronged approach. You've also got to give them something worth referring.
That's
you've
right.
got to give them a quality experience. You've got to deliver more than they expect. And, I mean, we like to say that for certain of our services, that there's a slogan in buying printing, you can have any two of quality, price, and speed. We deliver all three.
Mm-hmm.
And people are shocked. And we've heard from people like,
right.
Is that really all the money you want for what you just did? I couldn't have done that in 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And so by delivering more than they expect, we make it worth their while to give referrals because they're excited.
What are some ways to ask for referrals?
Well, you can either provide an incentive or no incentive. If someone sends you X amount of business, you might give them a gift, or you might simply just ask on the basis of the good work you did for them. Do they know anybody else? You can ask for a testimonial.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you get a testimonial, that's a good thing. And
yeah.
I generally am a fan of getting permission to actually use the name and the city of the person.
Yep.
So that they feel real and none of this Jerry F. California stuff.
Right. What about the timing? Is it a good idea to let them once you deliver your product and you know how to get to them, to write them or call them later and just to make sure that they were happy?
Now, sure.
Isn't the timing a good idea?
It's a good thing.
Yeah, to make sure that...
Sensitively.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And if you don't want to do it in any way that's perceived as rude or pushy, and generally the best time to ask for referrals, and one other way you can do this is you can say to people, are there names of people I should be talking to that I can use your name with?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the clock here, and
I know you've got to go. In fact, we're gonna wrap up. We're coming up on the end of the break here. I know you've got to go before the end of the hour, Shell. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Let's just say once again that it's 877-FRUGAL-FUN or www.frugalfun.com.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
If you missed that, go to Jim's website at smallbusinessadvocate.com.
Absolutely. When you come back next time, I want to talk about communities on the Internet. I know that's something you're very much involved in,
mm-hmm.
and you and I are part of some communities on the Internet that have been beneficial to both of us. Shell Horowitz is our special guest, folks. He's got to go. He's the author of Marketing Without Megabucks and also The Penny-Pinching Hedonist. Shell, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure.
Have a good one.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, folks, I will be back in just a few minutes. It's 50 after. Stay with me. I'm Jim Black.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.